The United States and Canada have had their differences, but it might be surprising to find members of those two societies poles apart on something as fundamental as perceptions of their fellow citizens' morality. Research found that to be the case. Our story today explores the roots of the U.S. piece of the phenomenon. It's Wednesday, April 15th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Ira Porter. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Ukraine and Germany team up for a defense deal. President Volodymyr Zelensky and Chancellor Friedrich Merz announced that their nations will jointly begin production of drones and other armaments. On Monday, Mr. Zelensky claimed that for the first time in the war with Russia, Ukraine used unmanned robotic vehicles and drones to overwhelm an enemy position. The occupiers surrendered, without infantry and without losses on our side, he said, touting his military's ground-based robotic systems, plus its long-range and naval drones. Praising Ukraine's innovative technology, Mr. Merz said Germany's commitment to supporting Kyiv's war effort is a very clear signal to Russia. Peru's runoff presidential election is set for June 7th. Keiko Fujimori, daughter of late former President Alberto Fujimori, was a top vote-getter among 35 candidates in Sunday's election. Voters who identified public safety and political stability as top issues appear to favor Keiko for her name recognition and iron fist toward crime. Voting was marred by logistical delays that prompted extensions of balloting and underscored institutional weaknesses in a country that has had 9 presidents since 2016. Ms. Fujimori's opponent in the June runoff was still not clear, with vote counting continuing on Tuesday. It could be former Lima mayor Rafael Lopez Aliaga, a far-right populist. Also, Cameroon separatists announced a 3-day ceasefire for the Pope's visit. In a statement to Reuters, the Unity Alliance cited the papal visit's profound spiritual importance for the pause in fighting. Pope Leo XIV, whose 11-day trip of Africa began with a call for fraternal coexistence in Muslim-majority Algeria, is holding a meeting for peace at a cathedral in Cameroon on Thursday. A decade of fighting between English-speaking separatists and a majority French-speaking nation has killed some 6,000 people and displaced well over 500,000. Unity Alliance pledged safe travel for civilians and pilgrims, endorsing a deliberate commitment to responsibility, restraint, and respect for human dignity. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. Fallout from the Epstein scandal and a changing media environment might be contributing to a new push for sunlight and accountability on Capitol Hill. This week's unusual resignations could be followed by even more. Caitlin Babcock reports from Washington for The Monitor. After 3 years of fighting, there is no end in sight for Sudan's brutal civil war. Its civilians are paying an unfathomable price. Contributor Sophie Neiman reports from Tongoli, Sudan for The Monitor. Taxpayers are frustrated over the perception that the wealthy are not paying their fair share. Despite government spending reductions that partially offset tax cuts, experts warn that new tax provisions will expand federal deficits. Mark Trumbull and Jacob Turcotte report from Washington for The Monitor. Winter conditions usually tamp down wildfire risk, but across the U.S., drought and heat have set the table for hungry fires. Some states prone to wildfires are beginning to embrace controlled burns that give fires less fuel when they do start. Harry Bruinius reports for The Monitor. Researchers asked people from different countries to rank the morality and ethics of their fellow citizens. The results could offer insights into how communities can rebuild trust. Mark Sappenfeld, Sarah Miliana, Audrey Thiebert, and contributor Ismira Lutfia Tisnadi Brada report from Berlin, Toronto, Boston, and Jakarta, Indonesia for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on better Me Too scrutiny on Capitol Hill. Bipartisan agreement on Capitol Hill is rare these days, but it has been in evidence in recent weeks among a handful of congresswomen concerned about allegations of sexual misconduct by a few House members. They have called for Congress to expel three representatives and to publicly release records of its recent investigations, a motion voted down in early March. "Women deserve to be safe," Republican Representative Nancy Mace of South Carolina said last month, "and the American people deserve to know when elected officials are abusing power instead of serving their constituents." On Monday, two House members announced they would step down, Democrat Eric Swalwell of California, who denies allegations of sexual assault by a former staff member and three other women, and Republican Tony Gonzalez of Texas, who has admitted to an affair with an aide. Nearly a decade after the Me Too movement gained prominence, these events signal that Americans' expectations of elected officials' public and private ethics have changed to demand greater transparency and accountability as well as congruence between both. In 2018, we saw a real acknowledging of problems in the halls of power, especially affecting female staffers, veteran congressional correspondent Lisa Desjardins said on NPR this week. That year, Congress tossed out the long-standing practice of using taxpayer money to settle claims of misconduct by elected officials, as well as a rule that required staff to accept up to 90 days of counseling, mediation, and cooling off before lodging a formal complaint. Since then, Ms. Desjardins noted, it's been taken for granted that this problem has been solved. Clearly, there is more work to be done to extend recognition of and respect for women's autonomy and inherent ability to contribute freely and fully in political and public life, especially among women themselves. Women, even those who are highly educated, well-credentialed, and politically engaged, often do not see themselves as viable candidates for office, a 2022 study found. Until women are just as likely as men to consider running for office, the researchers concluded, we really haven't achieved full inclusion. Today, women constitute 28% of the membership of the current 119th Congress. While this is a substantial increase of 44% between 2015 and 2025, more than half of all American adults feel there are too few women in high office. There are varied reasons behind the desire for more women in politics. Increased representation of women in elected office is associated with counteracting corruption and having a greater focus on public service delivery, according to a global survey by the London-based Westminster Foundation for Democracy and King's College. When women take part in politics, the whole of society benefits. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we lean into an understanding of spiritual reality, we find that justice and peace prevail. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Noel Flatt, Mackenzie Farkas, and Audrey Thieber.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.